Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 6th of April 2015, the podcast that boycotts boycotts. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Dave Turcotte. Dave, welcome back to the podcast.
It's good to be back. Hopefully we can wrestle a couple of jimmies today.
First, a quick announcement. Next weekend, I will be at the LPNC convention in Durham, so no podcast, but if you're in the area, feel free to swing by and say hello. Also, Dave, you have a Patreon account now?
Yes, I do, actually. I set this up a couple months ago, but for those of you who aren't familiar with my work, I go by the username Iron Fury on YouTube, where I do Let's Plays and a lot of stuff with video games. And I set up a Patreon account for not only that, but my stuff with the Superplex Brothers. Basically, if you like what I do and you want to fund me, basically there's that. And I do offer some stuff, not a lot, because I don't necessarily have the means to offer anything huge. But most of the stuff I offer is like recommendation. You can ask me to do certain things like reviews or Let's Plays or what have you. And, you know, even guest spot in some stuff if you want to. Stuff like that.
So if you like what Dave's doing or you like his appearances on this podcast, why don't you go show him some support?
And love. Lots of love.
Lots and lots of love. He needs it.
I need it.
Look at his little puppy dog eyes. He needs it. All right, let's religiously exempt the news of the bogus. Yeah, we're talking about all this boycott Indiana stuff.
Oh, boy. I've put up a lot of nonsense about this topic. Especially on Twitter, where I, for some reason, am actively a part of now. I spent years avoiding it like the plague, and I made an account just to make one, and suddenly I got involved in it. But this boycott Indiana stuff is... Let me just start things off by saying, if it was simply a boycott of, like, the stores in Indiana that were doing discriminatory behavior, that'd be one thing, but we know that's not true. We know that the end goal of these people is to make a law that would force them to serve people they didn't want to, and that's bullshit. Straight up.
I've never understood this. Why would you want to force people to give their money to racists and homophobes? That makes no sense to me.
Why does anybody think that's a moral victory? It's not. And actually, it also hides bigotry.
Yeah.
I want that shit exposed so I know not to go to those people.
I want that restaurant to say no blacks or blacks sit at the back or whatever. Post it on a sign. That way I'll know to just keep on walking, go somewhere else, give someone else my money.
Not only that too, but you also have to put into consideration of the opposite side. I want a black business owner to be able to tell a Ku Klux Klan member, I will not serve you. And I also want a gay business owner to be able to tell a member of the Westboro Baptist Church to fuck off.
Ah, but you see, there's a difference there, Dave, because people aren't born Nazis, but they are born gay and black.
And you know what? Special pleading and double standards don't impress me.
Yeah, so what we're talking about is Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is one of dozens of RFRAs all over the country, but we'll get to that a little later. This was SB 101, signed into law by Governor Mike Pence. It prohibits the government from substantially burdening, whatever that means, a person's ability to practice his or her religion unless government can show it has, survey says, a compelling interest, and it must choose the least restrictive way to do it. So it's pretty much the typical language. And really, I do have one problem with this bill, is that you're only allowed to discriminate if it's your religion. No, I'm sorry, you should have the right to be an ignorant moron for whatever reason, not just religious.
Yeah, I've said this to people already, but this bill doesn't go far enough. I mean, the fact is, stupid opinions shouldn't be a crime.
Right. It's thought policing is what it is.
It's exactly what it is. If you are not allowed to express a certain thought or frame of mind on your own property, that is censorship.
Yeah.
That is outright censorship, and reality violates the First Amendment.
Yep. Now, the big difference a lot of people are saying that makes this different from all the other RFRAs out there is that this also applies to businesses that are run for profit. And I have never understood this. Why all of a sudden are moral values and things like safety and stuff like that different just because someone's making money. I mean, it's like when we were talking about the quadcopters a few weeks ago. You can basically do whatever you want with them as a hobbyist within a few restrictions. But if you're making money doing it, oh, it's horrible. And we got to restrict that because it's dangerous and the quadcopter might fall out of the sky and hit someone on the head. Like, it won't do that if you're a hobbyist. I don't get this.
Yeah, it's, you know what it is? It's a deep-rooted hatred of capitalism, and I'm starting to more and more believe that.
Yeah.
That people just hate capitalism that much, that anything involving money to them suddenly is, like, pure evil, and I don't get it. I really don't get it. It's baffling to me that there are people who honestly think that all of a sudden, once money's involved, everything changes.
Yeah. And they also do the whole bit about, you know, a corporation. For example, there's a passage here in this story from the Indy Star, and it says, quote, "It would grant religious liberty rights to any corporation, any group of people, and any business, regardless of whether or not members of that corporation or business share a religious belief. The federal law grants such rights only to people, nonprofit organizations, and, in the case of the often-cited Hobby Lobby ruling," which we talked about when it happened, "to closely held corporations where owners share the same religious beliefs." Well, you know what? A corporation is just a group of people. And if it is true that not all members of that corporation share the same beliefs, isn't that up to them to police themselves and figure out what they want to do with that corporation and whether or not they want to remain a part of it or whatever?
You would think so if we were dealing with rational people, but we're dealing with government, so.
Now, unlike most of the news outlets out there, we're actually linking you to the actual bill so you can read it for yourself. See, I would think that would be a standard thing, but even with all these stories on it, I can only find the link to it by Googling. And apparently, I understand they've also already changed the law to take out the part that everyone's complaining about.
Yeah, they did. I believe it actually happened either last night or this morning as of this recording.
Yeah, we're recording Friday morning here on the 3rd. I mean, this just keeps changing so much, so this is probably going to be out of date by the time the podcast goes out. But
who knows? By the time the podcast comes out, all of a sudden aliens invaded Indiana or some nonsense.
Hey, it'd be a boost to their economy.
God damn it. I was going to say Krugman goes out there and does the Cossack dance.
So, Dave, it looks like your own state of Connecticut is jumping on the Boycott Indiana bandwagon. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, my God. Daniel Malloy, who I could seriously give 3 hours worth of commentary on Daniel Malloy.
That's the governor of Connecticut.
Yes, the governor of Connecticut. He basically was like, okay, we're going to boycott Indiana too. We're going to ban state-funded trips to Indiana, meaning government employees can't go to Indiana on the taxpayer dime. And I'm just sitting here thinking, why wasn't that a thing to begin with?
Yeah. Let's do it for all of it. Just expand that. Make it the whole thing. All states, for all reasons.
The big hit here has to do with college basketball. UConn, the basketball team, I guess, is in the Final Four, the women. And the Final Four is being held in Indiana. And they would have went there through tax dollars. And since they're one of the big teams in it, they figured this would be a hit to the NCAA finals and all of that, which, again, I don't know why this wasn't being paid for by themselves to begin with. Why is this being a burden on the taxpayers? Daniel Malloy, I can't get over the fact that there are people I know, I won't name names out of embarrassment, but there are people I know who are like, this is so brave of him, and he is so innovative. Yeah, thank you, Daniel Malloy, for choosing not to steal from people to go to Indiana.
Yeah, such an innovative thing.
Oh, God. He's such a hack. Bit of a tangent. I won't be long. But if you can find any video footage of him talking during, like, big storms, whether it's rain or snow, he's insufferable. He incites panic. I remember when we had, I forget if it was Sandy or the one before that, but when they were coming, by the time they reached Connecticut, they weren't even hurricanes anymore. They were tropical storms, which can still be dangerous, mind you. But at the same time, nowhere near the threat that basically everyone else up to that point was experiencing. He was telling people to prepare to go on their rooftops to be evacuated.
Like by helicopter or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And saying it was going to be worse than Katrina. And I understand there is a difference between making sure that people are prepared for the in case of an emergency, which is perfectly fine, but he's not doing that. He's not saying, listen, things might get bad, be prepared for the worst. No, he's saying it will be as bad as Katrina, which is insulting to the people of Katrina.
Yeah.
To the people who suffered through that. And, just intolerable. Absolutely intolerable. And then there was the whole Ebola crisis, where he was forcing quarantines on people, not just the person, but their entire home, and everyone that they know, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He's a joke. He really is a joke.
Ebola is actually a very bad disease, but it doesn't spread around that well. The R0 for that is something like 2, you know, which means that someone who has Ebola will likely go on to spread it to 2 other people, which is bad, and you need to stop it, but it's not like measles or pertussis, which is 15.
Yeah, and the thing about Ebola, too, is, from what I understand, you practically have to be swimming in their feces in order for you to really be in danger of getting it. I don't know if that's actually true.
I think that's hyperbolic, but yeah, it pretty much, you pretty much have to be directly getting the bodily fluids of someone else.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to this, a lot of people have pointed out that Dan Malloy is making all this big deal. Oh, they passed an RFRA, so let's boycott their state. But Connecticut has an RFRA, too, and it's almost identical to the law that Indiana passed.
Yep, it is. So can we ban state-funded trips to Connecticut, please, so that you can all leave?
Ban Connecticut politicians from traveling to Connecticut. There you go. That's what you do.
Please. Please. Save us!
And, of course, everyone's on the bandwagon blaming Republicans. It's those horrible Republicans, just like with the Hobby Lobby case. But the federal RFRA was passed in 1993 by a Democratic Congress and signed into law by Bill Clinton. Not only that, but Illinois also has an RFRA, and we have a link to all of this in the show notes. It was passed in 1998 when Barack Obama was a state senator, and yes, he voted for it.
Of course. It kills me. It absolutely kills me. There is either an extreme ignorance or an extreme bias, and let's be honest, it's the bias. It kills me, though, that people will justify or ignore stuff that their own party does, but man, if a Republican did it,
yeah.
Oh God, it's a lynch mob.
Yeah. Or even if it's not a party thing, even if it's just a state thing, like when North Carolina shamefully passed Amendment 1, which made gay marriage illegal in the state. Everyone was saying, yeah, North Carolina, they're a bunch of hayseeds there with 3 teeth and they sleep with their sisters. It's like, wait a minute. A couple of years before, California passed pretty much the same ban. No one was saying Californians were a bunch of hayseeds.
No, because they're the People's Republic of California. And
yeah.
I hate California. That's another place I could give a 300-hour speech on why I would never live there. And the politics ain't even half of it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. People are bleeding on and on about how this will allow businesses to discriminate against gays, but what happens if they do? Well, just ask Crystal and Kevin O'Connor of Memories Pizza. Crystal had said, quote, if a gay couple came in and wanted us to provide pizzas for their wedding, we would have to say no. We're not discriminating against anyone. That's just our belief, and anyone has the right to believe in anything. I don't think it's targeting gays. I don't think it's discrimination. It's supposed to help people that have a religious belief. And, of course, what have people done? They've said, okay, let's boycott this pizza place. We're not going to buy from them.
Which is fine, but, of course, now there's words saying that a lot of people were giving them death threats, which, folks, please don't. Don't.
That's bad. Yeah, that's too far. Don't threaten them with violence. Just threaten not to give them your business.
You can win me on your side as long as you don't use violence. I mean, if you say, yeah, these guys are bigoted, they're refusing to serve gay people, which I have to ask, who the hell would get pizza at a gay wedding? Who the hell would get pizza at any wedding?
Is that a thing in the North? People actually cater their weddings with pizza? Does that happen?
No. I mean, as good pizza as we have here in Connecticut, no. I mean, Italian food, maybe.
Yeah, lasagna, but lasagna is just pizza pretending to be cake, so.
Still delicious.
Oh, man, best lasagna I ever had in my life was at a Catholic wedding.
And most Catholic, well, there's a lot of Italian Catholics.
Yeah. Oh, this was, I think they were Sicilian. Yeah,
let me just say this. If you know an Italian grandmother, eat over there as much as you can, because she knows how to cook. let me tell you from experience, because my mother's side of the family is Italian, and all of my grandmother and her sisters, they all know how to cook.
And they were party animals, too. There's all this drinking and everything.
Oh, yeah. They
it was a fun time.
Tangent time. when one of my cousins got married, they used to sometimes supply wine to the kids and stuff and champagne. They used to let them drink it because it's a party, you know?
Yeah.
It's a thing. They're partiers.
But a lot of people are doing the same way they did with that barbecue place we covered a few months ago in Texas. They're going out on Yelp and writing things like what Robert S. wrote, quote, "In all my queer life, I've never known a gay to cater their wedding with pizzas." Carol M. speculated if they had gaydar installed at the door, and if they ever considered that they may be serving closeted homosexuals. Michael N. had an interesting post, quote, "This is a transparent attempt to fly the Christian martyr mean gays are calling us bigots flag in the hopes that other mouth breathers in the area will rally to them and their crappy pizza the way Southerners rallied to Chick-fil-A. Deny them the oxygen of your outrage, and their uninspired fare will put them out of business in due course." And I also like one thing guys said, because apparently they didn't get memoriespizza.com. Guess what? Someone else registered it, snagged it up.
Nice.
Yeah, it used to have all these pro-gay, like, rainbows and things on it, and then he changed it to a more tame message, but, you know, it was still a nice, that was nice, that was good.
Yeah, although, also, pizza in Indiana, I'm not sure how good that could actually be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of a pizza elitist, I'll admit. I've had pizza in other states before, like Michigan pizza. Ugh, it's like cardboard.
No.
Yeah. To reiterate my point before, the real answer to all of this is to simply allow free markets to handle everything. If you don't like what someone has as their business policy, don't give them money.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. If you like their message, pay them. If you don't, avoid them like the plague and tell other people, hey, maybe you shouldn't be giving this guy that money.
Yeah.
But don't use violence against them. Don't use force. That's all I ask.
And there is no moral difference between using the force of death threats against them and using the force of the state against them.
No, not at all.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's libertyclassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects, and when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Okay, so we've covered Silk Road and how the FBI seized, I forget how many bitcoins in their raid, and we speculated about what happened to those bitcoins. Well, apparently, some of them ended up in the private accounts of 2 FBI agents. Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Gasp, I'm shocked. Oh my goodness.
The U.S. Department of Justice unsealed a criminal complaint against Carl Force and Sean Bridges, both part of the Silk Road raid and shutdown, the one where they got Ross Ulbricht, Force was the one who was going undercover to communicate with Ulbricht, who was known as Dread Pirate Roberts. And he used several online aliases. He had his official undercover identity of Knob, but apparently he also made several others and used them to siphon bitcoins away from Silk Road. They've charged him with wire fraud, money laundering, theft of government property, and conflict of interest, although pretty much the entire FBI is a conflict of interest, if you ask me.
Yeah, tell me about it.
They say that he, quote, used fake online personas and engaged in complex Bitcoin transactions to steal from the government and the targets of the investigation. Specifically, Force allegedly solicited and received digital currency as part of the investigation, but failed to report his receipt of the funds and instead transferred the currency to his personal account.
Of course.
So the FBI doing it themselves apparently is A-OK. Apparently the only crime these two committed was not sharing the loot.
Apparently, it's a case of honor among thieves.
And then Bridges has also been charged with wire fraud and money laundering. They said that he, quote, allegedly diverted to his personal account over $800,000 in digital currency that he gained control of during the Silk Road investigation. The complaint alleges that Bridges placed the assets into an account at Mt. Gox, the now-defunct digital currency exchange in Japan. He then allegedly wired funds into one of his personal investment accounts in the United States mere days before he sought a $2.1 million seizure warrant for Mt. Gox's accounts.
Jesus. You know what kills me about this, and you could really say this about government in general, is that they want to be the overseer of everything. They want to handle the arbitration, but they also want to be a player in the transaction as well.
Right.
And that is such a conflict of interest that if government were held on the same standard of any other business, there would be a clear violation of ethics.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about it is, unless the allegations about, you know, all of the hitmen and everything are true, which they sound a little fishy to people and they haven't been supported yet, but I guess we'll see when the court case comes. But aside from that, all the stuff they were complaining about Silk Road doing, you know, selling drugs and so on, that's voluntary. That's peaceful.
Yeah, but they don't care about that.
People using their own money to buy products from others.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
Well, because without the drug war, and really this is what this is all about, without the drug war, police stations and police units don't have the budgets to get the big military-grade weaponry.
Yep.
And that's what this is all about. The war on drugs is a war on budgets.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is.
Look at what happened. Assume it was intended, and ask who benefits. And even if that wasn't originally the idea for the drug war, that's certainly what's perpetuating it.
Either way, it's still just shameful.
Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now.
One of the most important concepts our justice system is founded upon is innocent until proven guilty, but now there's an excellent article on Rare.us from Bonnie Christian about how this just doesn't apply anymore. And she mentions an Iowa woman, Carol Henders. She made regular deposits at her local bank from the money she got from running a small Mexican restaurant. She doesn't accept checks or credit cards, so she just gets cash, and then she just kept bringing the cash to the bank. And of course, if you're dealing with cash, you probably want to do that before it accumulates too much. And she managed to save up $33,000 for herself to provide some security and keep her business running. And that's all gone. It was confiscated by the IRS. Do you know what crime she's accused of?
No, please tell.
None. She's paid all her taxes.
there's been no suspicion of money laundering or anything like that. The problem is the size of her cash deposits, the IRS said, was too small.
Are you fucking kidding me?
So what happened was there was a rule that they passed that says that you have to report any cash transaction over $10,000. And the idea was to stop drug dealers, you know, who are doing all of this, these drug deals in cash, and all the banks doing the money laundering. The idea was to stop all of that. Well, what did criminals start doing? Well, they started making $9,000 transactions so that they didn't do that. And so now, if you make more than $10,000 in a transaction at one time, you're considered a suspect, you're considered guilty. If you make lower than $10,000, you're still considered guilty.
That doesn't surprise me. They want to get as many people as they can into the system. That's really what it comes down to. And in reality, innocent until proven guilty hasn't really been a thing for years.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, this is not a recent problem. This has been a problem for probably even before I was born.
Yep. And this is not isolated either. She mentions a family in Long Island. They sold candy and cigarettes, and most people buy those things with cash. The government confiscated almost $500,000 from them, their entire life savings. They've been completely unable to get back, and in fact, they're now hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt as a result. Just because they made transactions lower than the $10,000 limit.
You know, it's stuff like this that really, really sets the stage of how just horrible and I would even say petty the government can really be.
Yeah.
You have to put into consideration that this is also an effect of the drug war. Because, again, the original purpose of money laundering laws was to stop drug dealers. And this is just another nail in the coffin of the war on drugs and why it needs to be buried and forgotten.
Yeah. And she also mentions Army Sergeant Jeff Cortazzo. And he saved up cash for his daughter's college education because it turns out he didn't have that much confidence in the banks. And it turns out he was very right not to, because we know what happened, the financial crisis. So he ended up not losing all that cash, but because he was diversifying it and putting it in smaller accounts and using smaller limits to move it around, the government ended up seizing about a third of it, and his daughter had to delay college for a year.
It's funny. They even do it to their own people.
Well, soldiers aren't their own people.
Well, you know what I mean. Guys,
they're the grunts.
They think they're their own
people.
They're
the grunts.
They think they're their own people.
Yeah. They're the grunts. They're the cannon fodder. They're the ones they send over to do the fighting so that their trust fund kids don't have to.
Yep.
And she also mentions, we've talked about him before, Abdul Rahman Al-Awlaki, the 16-year-old who was murdered by drone strike without charge, without trial. And the government started saying things like, well, he should have gotten a better father. It's like, what? Yep, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs actually said that. So government can take, when we've covered asset forfeiture before, government can take your money, they can take your house and your car, and they can even kill you without charging you with a crime, without you setting a foot in a courthouse.
Your property, your home, your life. It's up for forfeit if they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're a mafia. They are a mafia.
Oh, yeah.
In every sense of the word. The only difference is the mafia will actually give you some nice things if you want them.
Yep. Oh, you pay the protection money to the mafia and you need protection. They'll come down there and they'll protect you.
Yep.
So Christian closes out her article, quote, if the government can take your money and your life without proving you committed any crime, innocent until proven guilty is officially dead in America. And that's a very scary thing.
Oh, yeah. That's just terrifying when you really think about it.
You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. And now let's ionize this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Nick Bolton for what amounts to basically a hit piece in the New York Times on wearable technology. You know, like the watches released by Apple and other people have done for Android phones. They've been around for a few years. And Apple recently released their own. And it brings back all of the myths we've debunked about these things causing cancer. It's a story that was titled, Could Wearable Computers Be As Harmful As Cigarettes? To which the answer will be no. Apparently, the editor has now changed it to The Health Concerns in Wearable Tech, which we now respond to with, There Aren't Any.
Amazing.
So let's go through it. Let's see if you can spot the fallacies. Quote, in 1946, a new advertising campaign appeared in magazines with a picture of a doctor in a lab coat holding a cigarette and the slogan, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. No, this wasn't a spoof. Back then, doctors were not aware that smoking could cause cancer, heart disease, and lung disease. Bogus! We've known that for well over a century, people. Stop blaming science!
Is there anything you could even say to that other than, these people are just either really dumb or lying or both?
Well, and I mean, you have to think about the statistics. More doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Okay, so two doctors smoke Camels, one smokes Winston's, and none of the doctors smoke. You can still make that claim.
Yeah.
With only three doctors smoking.
Okay, even if you say there's a million doctors and only one of them smokes and he smokes Camel.
Yeah.
You can still make the claim. It's still irrelevant, though.
Yeah, and if Camels are the most popular cigarettes overall, statistically you expect that to be the case among doctors who smoke, but they're acting like Camels are something special that doctors really like and support.
I don't even think Camel... Is Camel still a thing?
I have no idea. I'm not a smoker.
I don't know anybody that actually smokes Camels. I know a lot of people who smoke, but nobody smokes Camels.
But the worst thing about this is he's using this ad as proof that doctors didn't know that smoking was harmful.
Of course.
When it doesn't even claim that. They just say more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette among doctors who smoke cigarettes. That says nothing about the scientific understanding of the health effects of smoking.
Well, this is a standard tactic that we see all the time, and for example, with anti-GMO or anti-vaccine people, where they'll try to say, look how wrong science is, and then they'll give us something just like this, where there's not enough information to give an actual credible statement.
Yeah, my favorite is, well, science once said the Earth was flat. There was never a period in history where anyone doing a scientific examination concluded the Earth was flat. Not once.
No, that wasn't science. That was the religious power.
Yeah. And every time the scientists looked at it, they could say, oh, well, you know, when you go up a mountain, you can see further. When you watch a ship coming up over the horizon, you see the mast first. Hey, look, we figured out that the lunar eclipse is the shadow of the Earth on the moon, and it's always the same mark no matter where the moon is. Earth must be spherical. We've known that for something like 3,000 years.
But here's the thing, and why all of this is irrelevant. The simple fact is, science does not claim to have, like, any kind of omnipotence.
Right.
It doesn't claim to know everything. It doesn't claim to have the answers for everything. Science is merely a means at which to figure something out through observation and experimentation.
Right.
And simply put, yes, it's possible that at one point science could have gotten something wrong and changed with further testing and further experimentation. That doesn't automatically mean that, oh, well, they were wrong at this one point, therefore they're wrong forever.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. That's not how anything like that works.
Well, it's just like the creationists say, like they point out this one guy, I forget who it was, but he tried to calculate the age of the Earth by seeing how cool the core was and concluded that it was something like 100 million years, and now we know it's 4.6 billion years. Well, the reason why he calculated such a low number, which is still way, 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 way higher than what the creationists say of 6,000 years, but the reason why he calculated so low a number is that he didn't know about nuclear processes, and he didn't know that they were going down in the core and keeping it heated up. So, I mean, that's the thing. Whenever they talk about something like that, they neglect to say that the reason why we know it's wrong is because of science. Because science keeps questioning what it does, and it just keeps moving on to the next thing, as more and more information comes to light.
Yeah, the further you advance, the more you know, and the more you can look back and say, oh, here's where we know where the mistake was.
Right. That's how you can rely on science. That makes it more reliable.
It's called learning.
Yeah.
That's the very basic idea behind learning.
Yeah. All right, so his next one is, quote, some researchers and consumers are now asking whether wearable computers will be considered harmful in several decades' time. Can you spot the logical fallacy there?
Jesus.
Some researchers and consumers.
Okay. First off, this reminds me of a lot of the bogus you hear in news stories, where they say, studies say, or researchers say, but they never say where these researchers are from, or what the paper was that this study was from. No, like, for example, I remember a few years ago, and I'll never forget this, the local news was like, research has pointed out that red meat may cause death. Straight face!
That sounds like The Onion.
It was the local news. And straight face. Straight face. This is the equivalent of that. All you have to say is some researchers or scientists or a study, and suddenly people will be eating out of the palm of your hand.
Okay, this next one, quote, we have long suspected, who's we, that cell phones, which give off low levels of radiation, ooh, the big scary radiation word, could lead to brain tumors, cancer, disturbed blood rhythms, whatever that is, and other health problems if held too close to the body for extended periods. The radiation that people keep being afraid of, that's such a problem when you talk about radiation poisoning and things like that, is ionizing radiation. That is, very high frequency radiation above the visible light spectrum. The radiation that cell phones use are radio waves, very long wavelengths that are below the visible light spectrum, and so long that they are completely incapable of hitting the DNA of the cell to mess it up and cause cancer and tumors and things like that. It just can't happen.
First off, as you already said, what's this wee shit?
Yeah.
And secondly, just enough with the buzzwords.
Yeah.
Seriously, enough with the buzzwords. Oh, you say radiation and suddenly it's scary.
And you say radio waves and it's not as scary.
It's like for some reason when they think radiation, they think of like Swamp Thing.
Or the Hulk.
Yeah. No, if you use a cell phone, Swamp Thing isn't going to come and kill you.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, the big scare about getting cancer, if you read, like, half of the labels on a lot of products, it'll say, warning, may cause cancer.
Yeah.
I had a bottle of shampoo that once said that.
Yep.
Am I going to stop washing my hair because, God forbid?
Because some lawyer told them, hey, if you don't put this on the shampoo and someone gets cancer, you know, that could be lawsuits.
Oh, yeah, lawsuits ruin everything. I remember when I was in high school, my AV class had this calendar, and the gimmick of the calendar was for every day they would have one stupid label that was an actual label on a product, and one of them was like, warning, feeding goldfish food to your dog may kill it.
Okay.
And it's just like, you know, if you're stupid enough to be afraid of labels and afraid of cancer all your life, why don't you just hide in your house and never come out?
My absolute favorite one of all time was there was a product where it was a bag of charcoal briquettes, you know, for your barbecue. And what it said on the package was, just light the bag. So you didn't have to, you know, worry about kindling or how to start or anything. You just plop the bag in there, set the bag on fire, and then the bag burns the charcoal, and it's a cool idea. And then down at the bottom it says, warning, flammable, keep away from fire or flame. It's like, then how can I use the product?
Yeah, just too many stupid people.
Yeah. Quote, while there is no definitive research on the health effects of wearable computers, the Apple Watch isn't even on store shelves yet, we can hypothesize a bit from existing research on cell phone radiation. Well, I mean, they're using the same frequencies. They're using, you know. And so his existing research, he talks about that WHO study that we completely panned here on the podcast.
Who?
And he says, there is, of course, antithetical research, but some of this was partly funded by cell phone companies or trade groups. Spot the fallacy.
Why does that matter? Why does that matter?
Those studies about vaccines were done by Big Pharma.
Fuck's sakes. Why? Ugh.
Genetic fallacy, people.
This also comes again to the whole money's involved. Evil! Evil, I tells you! Why does it change?
Profits ruin everything.
Including religion.
Quote, another study in the BMJ, which measured cell phone subscription data rather than actual use, said there was no proof of increased cancer. Yet even here, the Danish team behind the report acknowledged that a small to moderate increase in cancer risk among heavy cell phone users could not be ruled out. Okay, so what does that mean?
Yeah, cannot be ruled out. Okay, what about it?
It means that you can never actually measure zero, since there's always a margin for error in any measurement. You can't distinguish zero from a very small amount. I mean, that's just a problem with each and every study that's ever been done. Well, if you're wondering how we went wrong, the first three words of this next paragraph will answer it all for you. Dr. Joseph Merkula, a physician who focuses on alternative medicine and has written extensively about the potential harmful effects of cell phones on the human body, said that as long as a wearable does not have a 3G connection built into it, the harmful effects are minimal, if any. I don't know why 3G would be more evil than any other. I don't know.
Stop at alternative medicine.
Stop at Merkula.
Yeah.
That's where you stop. What's next? Is he going to cite Natural News?
Please don't. Please?
Okay, this is a double quote. He's quoting Merkula. The radiation really comes from the 3G connection on a cell phone, so devices like the Jawbone Up and Apple Watch should be okay, Dr. Merkula said in a phone interview. But if you're buying a watch with a cellular chip built in, then you've got a cell phone attached to your wrist. And that, he said, is a bad idea.
Based from the study, directly out of his ass.
Researchers, which ones, have also raised concerns about having powerful batteries so close to the body for extended periods of time. Yeah, what about people who, like, wear pacemakers and have to have batteries inside their bodies right next to their hearts?
Clearly, they all come from the sophisticated university of SFMA, straight from my ass.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like they're all the same frequencies as radio frequencies, and up until, I think, the 70s, all of the DJs were actually broadcasting from directly below the transmitter because they couldn't get a phone connection to the transmitter with high enough quality. So they were sitting right under this thing that was pumping out, you know, megawatts of this stuff. And there's no indication that they were getting cancer at any greater rate. Also, quote, some reports over the last several decades have questioned whether being too close to power lines could cause leukemia, though other research has also negated this. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing where lawyers decide, okay, there are a bunch of these people near the power lines. Let's find the people who have cancer and kind of cherry-pick them and then parade them in front of the jury. Look, 200 people near these power lines got cancer, and not telling them how many people on the whole live there and what the cancer rate would be expected to be and things like that.
Isn't that kind of like the Aaron Brockovich story?
Yeah, I don't think it was about power lines. I forget what hers was about, but it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah, I wasn't really talking about power lines as much as just the general idea.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Of course, she got a movie.
While researchers debate, you gotta love that, you know, how they use this word debate to pretend like both sides are kind of equal. About how harmful cell phones and wearable computers actually are, most agree that children should exercise caution. Won't you think of the children?
First off, how much more vague can you be? That's the real problem with this. They love to be vague.
Yeah.
Because God knows if you give any actual names, they get laughed out of the building.
Yeah. The only name he's given so far is Joseph Merkula, and if that's the one he's willing to admit to, I shudder to think who the others are.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And he closes off, quote, "That being said, when it comes to wearable computers, I'll still buy the Apple Watch, but I won't let it go anywhere near my head, and I definitely won't let any children I know play with it for extended periods of time."
Of course.
Scare, 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 scare. Now, I was going to name the New York Times along with them as biggest bogon emitter, but they came in and appended this. They changed the title, as I said earlier, and they also put an editor's note, quote, "The disruptions column in the Style section on Thursday, discussing possible health concerns related to wearable technology, gave an inadequate account of the status of research about cell phone radiation and cancer risk. Neither epidemiological nor laboratory studies have found reliable evidence of such risks, and there is no widely accepted theory as to how they might arise." In other words, they don't have the data and they don't have the theory either. According to the World Health Organization, quote, "To date, no adverse health effects have been established as being caused by mobile phone use. The American Cancer Society, National Cancer Institute, the Food and Drug Administration, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have all said there is no convincing evidence for a causal relationship. While researchers are continuing to study possible risks, the column should have included more of this background for balance. In addition, one source quoted in the article, Dr. Joseph Merkula, has been widely criticized by experts for his claims about disease risks and treatments. More of that background should have been included, or he should not have been cited as a source. An earlier version of the headline for the article online, Could Wearable Computers Be As Harmful As Cigarettes, also went too far in suggesting any such comparison." And I actually don't think the editors went far enough in just saying, they should have said, look, there is no truth to this whatsoever. There is no reason whatsoever to worry, but at least they did that much. At least they went back on it. Not that I think it'll mitigate the damage from this, but you know, you got to give them that much at least.
Well, no, but what kills me is if you're going to outright say, listen, this story that we have hosted on our website is bullshit, why bother hosting it to begin with?
Well, because if you just take it down, no one gets the information. Although they put the editor's note at the bottom, they probably should have put it at the top, saying, warning, this article is bullshit.
Yeah, I just...
So if people don't read all the way down to the bottom to see the editor's note. So all of that makes Nick Bolton this week's biggest bogon emitter. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. And now it's time to trigger the warnings about this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to a group of social justice warriors who just love oppressing people's free expression and other liberties and lifestyle choices because they're triggering. Last week we talked about a conference that asked people not to clap or whoop. Now it gets even crazier, as Judith Shulevitz writes about in the New York Times. And she talks about Catherine Byron, who's a senior at Brown University and is a member of its Sexual Assault Task Force. Don't get me started on that. Considers it her duty to make Brown a safe place for rape victims, free from anything that might prompt memories of trauma. And apparently, that includes Wendy McElroy, who was giving a talk. She's the founder of Feministing.com, and I think she's also a writer for Reason. And she gave a talk where it said she was likely to criticize the term rape culture, which is a term that desperately needs to be criticized. The article says, quote, "Ms. Byron was alarmed," quoting Byron now. "Bringing in a speaker like that could serve to invalidate some people's experiences," she told me. "It could be damaging."
The only thing damaging here is the integrity of Brown, where it actually thinks that this is a viable discourse to have with dissenting opinions.
Yeah.
Let me just say this right now. I thought the idea behind college was that this was a place where young people can go and be exposed to all different kinds of train of thought, where they can use their own reasoning and deduction to figure, okay, this is true, this is bogus, and come to their own conclusions.
Well, I can tell you've never been to college.
Thank God.
Actually, St. Andrews was good. Once I transferred to St. Andrews, it was very good. UNCG was just horrible. Absolutely horrible. So anyway, she writes, quote, "Not long after, Brown's president, Christina H. Paxson, announced that the university would hold a simultaneous competing talk to provide, quote, research and facts about, quote, the role of culture in sexual assault. Meanwhile, student volunteers put up posters advertising that a safe space would be available for anyone who found the debate too upsetting." Okay, so we have the false equivalence here, and we have people just, this might be disturbing for you. You don't want to hear these ideas. These ideas might make you unhappy.
It's times like these where my inner horrible human being comes out, and I want to go out of my way to trigger these people. Because if you can't show the same intellectual courage as toddlers, you don't deserve any respect because you have none for yourself. And excuse me for a moment, but it's time for me to be the trigger man. Bang, bang, I'm pulling out the gun. Okay, let's look at some of this crap. They had cookies, coloring books, bubbles, Play-Doh, calming music, pillows, blankets, and a video of frolicking puppies. Yes, I would love to set up a room like that. And then immediately, just instead of the frolicking puppies, all of a sudden the screen turns red, and some horrible demon-looking creature starts screaming at them, "Rape culture doesn't exist!"
Kind of like those prank videos they have online. It's like something peaceful or something, and all of a sudden the scary face comes up. Ah!
Yes, I want jump scares to happen to these people. Let me give you a whole thing on rape culture and why it's bullshit, especially in this country. Okay, you want to know what the real rape culture is? Real rape culture is the raping of people's wallets to fund stupid shit like this.
Well, the real raping is like in Muslim countries where it's actually supported, legal, and encouraged. That's what a rape culture is.
Yeah, that's rape culture. In this country, you can't even be accused of rape if you're a man without your life basically being ruined.
Yeah.
Whether you actually did it or not.
But if you're a man who has been raped, especially if you've been raped by a woman, good luck trying to get justice.
Not only justice, but good luck trying to live your life without being mocked. You were raped by a woman? What, are you gay? That's the kind of stuff that these people go through, because men have to deal with this idea of what manliness is. And if you tell someone that a woman took advantage of you sexually when you didn't want it, you are looked at like, what do you mean she took advantage of you? You didn't want it? What kind of man says they don't want sex?
Especially if she's hot.
What kind of man says that he was overpowered by a woman?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the background is or the size difference between the two. The fact is, there is a standard that is set for men in society that's just as harmful as all this other stuff you hear about horrible messages being sent to little girls.
Yeah.
Boys have it just as bad.
Oh, yeah.
And the simple fact is, you know, if you want to talk about the problems with gender in this country, that's fine. There are problems on both sides. But don't act like one side is more valid than the other, and that dissenting opinions need to be silenced or that you need to hide from them. Because if you need to hide from somebody else's opinion that you don't like, then as far as I'm concerned, you have no business in discourse to begin with.
Exactly.
I understand that there are some people who don't like to debate, and that's fine. Generally speaking, those people keep to themselves their own opinions. However, these social justice warriors, these fucking hypocritical assholes, they will say how everyone else should be. They'll get in your face. They'll scream at you and tell you why you are the biggest low-life piece of shit on the planet because you're a cis white male, privilege this, privilege that. Oh, but if you have the nerve and the gall to say you're wrong, oh, God, you're triggering me. I need to hide. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you right in the neck.
So she says, quote, Emma Hall, a junior rape survivor and sexual assault peer educator who helped set up the room and worked in it during the debate, estimates that a couple of dozen people used it. At one point she went to the lecture hall, it was packed, but after a while she had to return to the safe space. Quote, I was feeling bombarded by a lot of viewpoints that really go against my dearly and closely held beliefs, Ms. Hall said. Boo, hoo, hoo.
Fuck your beliefs. I can't be nice to these people. I it goes against my deeply held beliefs to be nice to these people, because you know what? They don't give a shit about mine.
Yeah.
So why should I give a shit about theirs?
So she also mentions Oxford University's Christ Church back in November, quote, the college censors canceled a debate on abortion after campus feminists threatened to disrupt it because both would-be debaters were men. Quote, I'm relieved the censors have made this decision, said the treasurer of Christ Church's student union, who had pressed for the cancellation. Quote, it clearly makes sense for the safety, both physical and mental, of the students who live and work in Christ Church. Okay. Mental safety, I guess, is they say something that goes against my delusions and I can't handle that. What does it have to do with physical safety? What is it about talking about something that threatens you physically?
You know what it is? It's use of oversensitivity to censor people, and they'll make up any stupid and asinine means necessary to convince stupid people that this is how it's supposed to be. And that's exactly what it is. You know, we could say that these people are stupid, but they're stupid like a fox. They know what they're doing.
She also mentions, quote, a Hampshire College student group disinvited an Afrofunk band that had been attacked on social media for having too many white musicians. Yeah, nothing racist there.
That reminds me of George Carlin. I love Carlin, but man, there was this one fucking bit he did that really pissed me off where he talked about white people singing blues and how they have no right to sing blues. Let me tell you something.
Well, he was making jokes. I mean, we can forgive Carlin.
I know he was making jokes, but it stems from a bigger issue. Music is a universal thing. As a person who loves music, I love music of all different genres. Music does not belong to one group of people.
Right.
Fuck your idea of cultural appropriation.
Oh, God, did you see how people reacted to that Richard Dawkins tweet?
Ugh.
Where he had said, you know, the thing about the t-shirt that says we are all Africans because, you know, our ancestors came from Africa. And actually, you know, if you look throughout human evolution, something like, I think he said like 98% of the time or something, our ancestors spent all that time in Africa. And only then did they start leaving Africa and going to other things. And some SJWs jumped on them for cultural appropriation. Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. That happens all the time. Cultural appropriation is a bullshit term used by people to stop white people from enjoying things. That's really what it is.
Well, and we talked about that one white girl, she was like 14 or whatever, and she braided her hair and everyone jumped all over her for it.
Yeah, I can't get over these people.
I have no Italian ancestry, so I guess I can't eat Italian food or Mexican food or Indian food or whatever.
Well, I'm a mutt, so I guess I can enjoy everything. But, I just can't get over this. When you really think about it, and it doesn't require a lot of hard thinking, but if you think about it enough, the Ku Klux Klan should really start taking notes from these people.
I know, right?
They have
much better PR, if nothing else.
Well, not only that, but it's much more effective to convince minorities and women that freedom is too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Liberty is dangerous. We'll take care of everything.
That is exactly what they were doing during slavery, because that is how you stop slaves from standing up and demanding their rights. You just say, oh, it's too difficult. You know, you're not capable of it. You have to enslave the mind in order to enslave the body.
And it's using sheltering tactics to keep people in line. And I can't... that's despicable. It's truly despicable to when you really think about it, that these people who claim to despise racism and claim to despise sexism and all this other stuff, they are the most sexist and racist of all because they try to convince these people that they're not good enough to have liberty or to be exposed to opposing ideas.
Yeah.
It's absolutely disgusting.
So she also mentions Zineb El Razoui, I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but she's a journalist at Charlie Hebdo. She spoke at the University of Chicago, quote, protected by the security guards she has traveled with since supporters of the Islamic State issued death threats against her. During the question and answer period, a Muslim student stood up to object to the newspaper's apparent disrespect for Muslims and to express her dislike of the phrase, I am Charlie. Ms. El Razoui replied somewhat irritably, being Charlie Hebdo means to die because of a drawing, and not everyone has the guts to do that, although she didn't use the word guts. She lives under constant threat, Ms. El Razoui said. The student answered that she felt threatened too.
Are you fucking kidding me?
A few days later, a guest editorialist in the student newspaper took Ms. El Razoui to task. She had failed to ensure, quote, that others felt safe enough to express dissenting opinions. Ms. El Razoui's, quote, relative position of power, the writer continued, had granted her a, quote, free pass to make condescending attacks on a member of the university. In a letter to the editor, the president and the vice president of the University of Chicago French Club, which had sponsored the talk, shot back, saying, El Razoui is an immigrant, a woman, Arab, a human rights activist who is known exile, and a journalist living in very real fear of death. She was invited to speak precisely because her right to do so is quite literally under threat.
I'm fucking speechless. I mean, how the fuck can you sit there with a straight face to a woman who is clearly in fear of her own life and it was put in a very real situation where people wanted her fucking dead? And then have the nerve to sit there in your comfy little college where I'm sure your parents are paying a good chunk of money for you to be there and say, I feel threatened too by your very mean opinions. Fuck you! You're defending people who killed people over a drawing.
Yeah.
People who, if it were in power, would put the very rape culture that you people keep yabbering on about.
Yeah.
I don't get it. So if a white guy rapes somebody, it's rape culture. America is the country of rape. But you have Islamic terrorists who will cut your head off for exposing your face if you happen to have the wrong genitalia. And that's multiculturalism.
I wonder what they would have said if it had been Malala Yousafzai who had given that talk. They're both Arab women. They're both, I mean, Malala was actually shot in the head for trying to go to school. She was pretty much in the same situation.
Who the hell knows? But this is like something out of Being Oblivious.
So Shulevitz writes, quote, while keeping college-level discussions safe may feel good to the hypersensitive, it's bad for them and for everyone else. People ought to go to college to sharpen their wits and broaden their field of vision, shield them from unfamiliar ideas, and they'll never learn the discipline of seeing the world as other people see it. They'll be unprepared for the social and intellectual headwinds that will hit them as soon as they step off the campuses whose climates they have so carefully controlled. What will they do when they hear opinions they've learned to shrink from? If they want to change the world, how will they learn to persuade people to join them?
When you come into this world, there is no warning label. There's no warning label ahead of time that says, warning, may think differently from you.
I like how Paul Provenza put it, the world is not made of Nerf.
Yeah, there are times where you're going to have to run into people whose opinions you don't like. I do it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
To a fault. To a goddamn fault. People think I'm a masochist.
I'm pretty much inviting them with this podcast and my YouTube channel.
I mean, I just did the bit earlier where I'm the trigger man. Bang, bang. I'm inviting these people to come after me. I'm practically a masochist when it comes to this stuff. But, for fuck's sakes, like I said, the world does not come with a warning label. You have to put up with shit sometimes. And that's what it comes down to. These people want the world to cater to them, and it's never going to. Get used to it.
And all of that makes these social justice warriors this week's...
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this I Didn't Hear You, Lady Britches edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv, and feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick it in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Dave Turcotte for joining me.
Bang!
Until next time, here's a quote from Albert Einstein. The minority, the ruling class at present, has the schools and press, usually the church as well, under its thumb. This enables it to organize and sway the emotions of the masses and make its tool of them. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Derivatives 3.0 Imported License.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual, peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well-supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
Did you like that? The Trigger Man?
Oh, yeah. Trigger Man was good.
Bang, bang.
You should do a video. You should do videos like that. Another video from Trigger Man.
Dave the Trigger Man. I might have to change my name on Twitter. Yeah, oh, shit. I forgot to talk about the fucking people on Twitter. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm still recording if you want to talk.
Okay. So I guess I'll talk about this. We talked about the Indiana shit, and I said that I fucking people on Twitter, man. Let me tell you something about debating both conservatives and liberals on one issue. You'll find that they're both nauseating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to give one tweet because it's the one I happen to have here. I posted this in fail quotes. This guy, Barry Smith, and I don't believe in censoring names of people who say stupid shit.
Nor do I.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves. When people will post a picture of somebody saying something fucking stupid, but they'll block out the picture and the name.
Yeah. I mentioned that in one thread, and the SJWs accused me of doxing.
Yeah, that's a bunch of shit.
It's doxing to keep someone's name on something they published publicly under the name they publicly published it under. And that's doxing.
Yeah. When you publicly say something stupid, you basically give up your right to privacy on that particular issue. And anyway, Barry Smith, he wrote to me, quit using bigoted. They have different beliefs than you do. Plus, quit using racist created by libs.
Wow.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you actually? So on the one hand, you have a group of people who want to use violence and a gun to order people to serve those that they don't want to. And on the other hand, you have, I'm assuming, religious conservatives who actually believe that the terms bigoted and racist were terms created by the liberals to keep them down.
Wow.
I just... Fucking hell, you both suck.
I don't think people are any different than they were 100 years ago. I think the internet has just opened up a window on all of them. These people have been with us this whole time.
And they both suck.
Yeah.
Horribly.
Yeah.
I'll refrain from making jokes because I don't want I'm the trigger man. What the hell am I talking about? They suck more than a cheap whore.
That wasn't a very good joke. If you're the trigger man, you gotta make good jokes.
I can make bad jokes. That triggers people.
They suck like an Electrolux with a Cessna engine in it. How about that?
Oh.
No? Needs work?
Oh, speaking of SJW bullshit, I posted this in the Bogosity Skype chat this morning. Did you see the female character that Anita Sarkeesian is a positive influence on women?
No, even after I looked at it, I didn't see it. It's a bunch of blocks.
It's non-distinguishable.
I can make more distinguishable figures than that out of Legos.
She openly stated that the reason why it's a good influence on women is because she's a blank slate who has no character.
Wow.
And because you can't actually distinguish, the fact that it's a woman makes it good, too. So why don't you just say that they should just be in a burka?
Yeah. That's kind of like, I forget who it was, but there was one guy a number of months ago who was complaining about The Mentalist. Because Simon Baker, who plays The Mentalist, is white. And then his co-workers, the FBI, were a woman, a black guy, an Asian guy. And he was saying that this message was that minorities can't make money and have to be given money by the government because they were working for the FBI and paid by the FBI.
So because they chose to be government agents, that means that's the only thing they could do?
I don't know. It's not like Patrick. Do you think they weren't paying Patrick Jane for being a consultant? I mean, you know.
But you know what kills me? These people are hardcore liberals. If you hate the idea of the government for giving minorities money, why aren't you against welfare? It's just like the other shit I said before with, rape culture's evil, but Muslims who have no problem with, or I should say Arabian countries that have no problem with raping women and encourage it, that's multiculturalism, apparently. Fuck these people.
There's just no consistency. Just try to get them to be consistent.
Yeah, it's just like David Draymond of Disturbed. I don't know if you heard about that fiasco.
Oh, yeah.
He was very pro-Gamergate, and apparently he's calmed down now, but Trevor Noah made those jokes about Israel, and Draymond went on record as basically saying, you know, fuck that, he's an anti-Semite, and he wanted Gamergate to be his personal army to rally against this guy to, you know, shut him down. And Gamergate basically told him, no, it was a joke. And then he was like, I might have to go to the SJWs and apologize for turning against them. And I'm just sitting here thinking, well, Disturbed sucks anyway, so no loss for me.
Yeah. Did you see all the tweets that Patton Oswalt did in response to that?
Yeah, I linked up.
Oh, man. Those are epic.
Yeah, that was the best mockery of SJW. Did you see the Daily Dot's response?
Oh, yeah.
They need to be changed to the Daily Salt. Because, man, there was so much salt there. If you add any more, it's overdone.
Yeah.
No need to add salt to that ham.
If they add any more salt, you'd get high blood pressure.
You'd get something, all right.